We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We're going to welcome on Cavs legend Mark Price in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And you guys can check out markpricecamps.com starting in June and July and through July. There are several camps throughout Northeast Ohio: Lyndhurst, Medina, North Canton, Bath, and Avon Lake. Again, markpricecamps.com. Mark, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right here. I actually just wanted to start with kind of your thoughts on the state of the Cavaliers. What is your confidence with this Cavs team heading into this Magic series?
Well, I don't know if confidence is the right word, just because, you know, they had so many guys in and out of the lineup all year. It's they haven't played that many games together as a group. So I think there's a lot of unknown going into this playoffs. They haven't finished super strong at the end of the year. They were able to kind of get the seeding that they wanted, it seems like, to play Orlando. But, you know, after what happened last year in the playoffs, I'm sure the players and everybody, coaches, are all feeling some pressure that they got to win this first round series. So it'll be interesting to see. It'd be great if they could get off to a good start on Saturday.
When you look at those last 20 to 25 games of the regular season, how much of that for you is about the injuries?
Well, it's a lot about the injuries, but it's also a mindset, you know, of trying to get yourself playing well and getting everybody grooving together and going into the playoffs. And, for one reason or another, or some guy being hurt or this or that, it just seems like they don't have a whole lot of rhythm going on right now. And they got to get that figured out pretty quickly if they're going to do well here.
You know, you've watched this team all season long. What are they missing? I mean, what's the one thing, you know, if they had going into this playoff run that, you know, if they had it, you'd feel like they could win a championship?
Well, I think who's the leader on this team, I think, is a little bit of a question mark. I mean, I think early on you would have said Donovan Mitchell. But like I said, guys have been in and out of the lineup so much, particularly their main guys. You know, I mean, that leadership's got to come from your big four, right? And one of those guys has got to kind of, you know, say, hey, guys, let's get it together, follow my lead. You know, I think that's kind of been a little struggle this year. Who's really the leading these guys out there on the floor? I mean, coaches can only do so much. At some level, you got to have leadership coming from the players. And, you know, you can't be considered a young team anymore. They got to the playoffs last year. They experienced that. Hopefully that experience will help them take another step this year. We'll have to see.
Cavs legend Mark Price in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So much has been talked about the idea of two undersized guards winning together. And obviously we saw it at a good clip, maybe not the highest clip, in Portland with CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard. There's been talk about that here. Can these two guys win together? When you watch them play, do you see, is this a stylistic thing? Is this, could it be a difference of personalities? How do you see these two fitting together or not fitting together 2 years into playing together?
Well, I think the challenge with Donovan and Darius is, in a lot of ways, they're the exact same kind of player. They're both the ball dominant guys that need the ball in their hand. And so I think that, you know, brings its difficulties, and, you know, as much as anything else, is neither one of them are that comfortable playing off the ball. And so I think you saw that many times this year. They both kind of played their best basketball at times when the other guy was injured, right? Because then it was like, okay, well, I'm the guy for sure now. The ball's going to be in my hand the whole game. When they're playing together, they have to share that. And, you know, like I said, it goes back to me. I'm not so sure it can't work necessarily, but you got to play enough games with each other to figure it out. And I think that's just been the challenge all year long for, you know, one or the other being injured and not getting that many games together.
Mark, we were talking earlier about this in terms of this team. They're really likable. Nice guys, you know, on the court, off the court. The question I have for you is it possible they're too nice in terms of, you know, on the court? Are they not as physical as you'd like? Are they, I don't know. I mean, does that make sense? Does that question make sense to you?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm not so sure, you know, being likable or being nice guys has a lot to do with it other than, you know, I think people want to see how competitive these guys are at times. I think last year playing against New York, it just seemed like New York was the more competitive team, in my opinion. The physicality and all that's one thing. I think, the Cavs got to show they can't get pushed around or whatever like they did last year. But more importantly than that, I mean, it's just seeing a competitiveness, you know, that these guys are going to show up and compete at whatever level it takes to try to win that game and get to the next stage.
If the Cavs were to choose this offseason, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We want to get into this Magic series and all that. If the Cavs were to choose, who do you think has a better chance of being the best player on a championship team? Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell?
I think that's a hard one. I think they're both really talented players. I think just because he's a little older and has got a little more experience and I think at times can be a little bit more dominant, you'd probably have to lean with Mitchell at this point. But it's pretty close, you know, in my opinion. But I'd probably have to lean with Mitchell just at this point. I think he at times can put you know, exert his will maybe a little bit more at this stage, maybe a guy that could take over a game. You know, I think Darius maybe from time to time could do that, but I think Donovan could do it maybe on a more consistent basis right now.
Mark Price in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline Cavaliers legend. Again, markpricecamps.com. As we talk about Darius, there's been so much talk about his health. Obviously, had one injury that then the Cavs went out on the 18-2 run in that 20-game stretch, then came back, then there was the face injury, there was this injury, there was that injury. Specific to the way he's played this year, are you worried that he could have regressed, or do you put a lot of this on the type of injury he sustained and how long it took him to come back from that?
Yeah, I think I don't necessarily know how much his game has regressed. But like you said, he hadn't been out there that much on a consistent basis with whatever injury it might be at the time. But, I mean, he shows brilliance from time to time, but it's not as consistent maybe as it was last year as a whole. But yeah, he's you know, question mark is for him, obviously, moving forward is, you know, can he stay healthy? And, you know, because he does have the skills to be a guy that could take it to the next level for sure.
Mark, when you look at the Eastern Conference, if the Cavaliers are able to get by the Orlando Magic, they'd face the Boston Celtics, who appear to be, you know, if not the best team in the NBA, one of the best teams in the NBA. I mean, how big of a challenge is that? And if they get there, is that a series they could win?
Well, I've said this all year, and I just don't think the Eastern Conference is that strong as a whole. And Boston's kind of dominated from the East, but the Cavs in the game so much of the time, right, is about matchups. And they do seem to match up well with the Celtics and have caused the Celtics some problems. And I know a lot of people are, you know, picking Boston to come out of the East, but I don't get the sense that Boston, as good as they've had a season, that there's a lot of people that fear them, like don't feel like they couldn't beat Boston if they played really well. And, you know, Boston may show up in the playoffs and be a whole different team, but I don't think they're not beatable. And I think the Cavs obviously the matchups that they've had with them. They've played well against the Celtics. So that would be interesting. You know, it'd be fun. Obviously, it would be fun to get past the first round and at least get a shot at them and kind of get a marker on where the Cavs are, what they need to do moving forward to be able to get past a team like that if they can't do it now.
What is a key, or what is the key or several keys for the Cavs to win this series in advance to the second round?
Well, I think they're the better team. Orlando, you got to give them a lot of credit. They're a young, hungry team. They're big, they're long, and they're physical. So that'll be a challenge. But in a lot of ways, they remind me of the Cavs last year. You know, the youth coming in, they haven't had this experience before. The best scenario for the Cavs, obviously, would be to kind of win both games at home and win by good margins and to kind of set the tone. If you come in and somehow Orlando can steal one game, now it becomes, you know, challenging, because now they're going to have confidence going back to Orlando, and they are a very talented young team. So I think, you know, it'll be great if the Cavs can come out and kind of take care of business early in the series. I think it'll go a long ways to helping them win it.
So LeBron used to talk about, you know, winning habits and championship habits, and you know, he was always focused on the last 20 to 25 games of the regular season. That's where you got to get all the bad habits out. You got to kind of focus up, tighten up, and become the best version of yourself. Obviously, the Cavs' win-loss record in that time this year is not what you would hope it would be if you were going to be a serious contender. So I'm curious, can you use that a first-round series, like against a young Orlando team, can you use this as that foundation to build winning habits? Or is it, I don't want to say too late, but is it too late to get all those things out before, you know, you get into like the second round?
No question. They could use this series to get some mojo back, get some momentum going. Obviously, you can't compare college and pro, but, you know, a great example is NC State, you know, and making their run. They had lost something like five or six of their last games of the regular season before they went to the ACC tournament and won five straight games. They wouldn't even have gotten the tournament had they not done that. And so winning the first game and then leads to maybe winning a second game, and now all of a sudden you've got a confidence level that can help you keep moving forward. And I think the Cavs, that's the best case scenario for them, even though they haven't finished strong. Now, if they can come out and win game one and then go win game two, all of a sudden now they're feeling better about themselves, and the outlook all of a sudden suddenly has changed. And what can we do now? What kind of damage can we do?
Mark, what should we be looking for from JB in this postseason run that would solidify him as the coach going forward?
Well, I think just like anything, I think you have to win. I think there's been a lot of talk about what's going to happen if they win or don't win. I think that's just the nature of the business. They had a really bad showing in the playoffs last year, and that was a bad reflection on everybody. And so winning a series is going to be big for everybody as well. And so, you know, I think the interesting part and the challenging part for JB and the coaching staff is they had to play so many different guys. That can be an advantage to a certain extent, because now you have more weapons because you got guys that have gotten minutes during the season. But in the playoffs, you know, teams typically pare their rotations down, right? They don't play more guys. They play less. And I think it's going to be, can they come up and figure out that 8-9 man rotation that can best help them win?
Mark, your old teammate Steve Kerr's team got bounced out in the play-in tournament. I do want to ask about the play-in tournament now that we've had it for a couple of years, but before we get to that, it's been such a run there, four titles since 2014. Obviously, they made the playoffs, I think, six of the 10 years. Do you think the Warriors dynasty is over?
Well, as it sits right now, it is. I mean, if they keep the same roster, it's over. You know, Steph, and he's very good. And Draymond, obviously, Klay Thompson has been the one that has noticeably dropped the most of that group. But if they want to still be in the mix, they're going to definitely have to make some moves in the offseason to revamp their roster and to get better.
So with that, I do have to ask you, now that we're a couple years in, do you like the play-in tournament?
I don't. I'm not a fan. You know, I understand trying to get more teams kind of excited about playoff basketball. But, you know, if I'm 7-8, and, I mean, you've worked all year to put yourself in those positions to then have a chance of not being in the playoffs, to me, it just doesn't sit right to allow two teams that didn't do well all year at 9-10 to get a shot. So, I mean, I understand they're trying to add something to maybe get more teams involved in it, but I guess in some ways I'm a little old school. I mean, if you're not good enough to be in the top eight, you're not good enough to be in the playoffs.
All right, so this is looking back to last Sunday. There are people who have speculated that the Cavs decided to rest up and get healthy, and basically, despite that they were in contention to get the 2 seed, they could go no lower than the 4 seed, that they kind of decided that they were going to maybe deprioritize that game against Charlotte. Have you ever been in a locker room where that kind of thinking or that kind of talk comes up in the NBA?
I was never been in a situation like that before, to where you could kind of pick who you play, so to speak. So no, I don't, but obviously the Cavs looked at it and chance of having to play Miami or Philly in the first round. They looked at it and said, well, we might like our chances against Orlando. So it was, you know, who knows? I wasn't there. I didn't really see it. Or talk to anybody much about it. From looking in on the outside, it looks like this was the matchup they wanted. So they got it. Now they got to go take care of it.
Mark, great stuff as always. I know we're sending people to markpricecamps.com, but what can you tell us about the camps? And again, where can people find more information about this?
Yeah, you've been hitting it. Markpricecamps.com is a place to go. Excited. We've expanded our camps to 6 this year. We started with 1 a couple years ago and just got a lot of momentum. You know, they're really good camps. People have found out there's not a lot of camps anymore that really teach the fundamentals as much as they should. And that's my opinion. And we do a lot of that, just really trying to teach kids the game, how to shoot, how to do the basic fundamentals to allow them to be successful. Basically teaching kids drills that I did my whole life that allowed me to be an NBA player. So we have a lot of fun. We work hard. It's an awesome 3 days. And, you know, we'd love to have you if you haven't signed up, haven't got a camp to go to. It's right around the corner. Obviously, Lyndhurst is one that's a brand new one for us this year we've added. So anybody in that area, we'd love for you to sign up and come. But, you know, we got plenty of options. Even one up near Columbus, Ohio, and Hilliard, North Canton. And then we got 4 in Northeast Ohio as well, around the Cleveland area. So it's a lot of fun. It's exciting. It's fun for me to get back up to Cleveland. And although the kids may all not know who I am, all their parents do. So so it's a lot of fun, and we really have a good time with it.
Mark, if you stepped on the court right now and I said you got to shoot 50 free throws, how many could you make out of 50?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Since I don't shoot much anymore, I won't put the number too high, but I would make at least 45 out of 50.
Yeah, well, that's good. You started conservatively there. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a high number at all.
Savage.
Hey, I gave myself 5 misses there, man. You know,
that's amazing.
Mark, great
stuff. And by the way,
man.
I believe that you, yeah, I think you'd make more than 45.
Yeah, here's the thing. I believe you'd make more than Dustin and I combined if you gave us 100. So that's a high bar. Mark, great stuff, man. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Mark Price, I think that's interesting about the Boston thing. Like, I'll be honest with you. Boston, I think, is beatable because they live and die completely on offense with the 3. like to a level like they led the league in three-point attempts. They're a really good three-point shooting team, but the point is they've had plenty of nights that if you string three bad nights in a row together or three bad games in a row together from three, that could be an opportunity a team in the playoff needs. Yeah. So I think Boston can be got as much as any team. I don't think, even in the West, even Denver, man, like they played really good in the second half. I don't think there's one team that I say you can't beat. When we come to the Cavs in the playoff run, it's them I'm doubting, not the fact that there's a path there.
If they could somehow get past Boston, then the entire mentality of this town will change.
Yeah.
And like you said, the West is definitely more attainable than the Eastern Conference. And if they could find a way somehow to beat Boston, which I think is a really, really tall task, everyone would agree with that, things would change.
It's funny. We're going to talk in a little bit about the path forward. Like and it's funny because Keith, we're going to listen to a piece of sound coming up in about 30 minutes. And I had Keith pull it because I had heard it about 11,000 times in the time that I was off when I listened, which is funny because that's what Keith said to me about, oh, you're going to pull the thing that everybody said. But it was from one of the basketball experts that talked about the Cavs. I just continue to go back to every single – there's just no certainties. This isn't like the LeBron Cavs where it's just get me to the playoffs and then I know you're going to make a run and everything was anticlimactic. The next – anywhere from the next 2 weeks to the next 6 weeks are going to be excruciating. Because every loss is going to feel like validation of the last 20 games of the regular season. And every win is going to be, oh, damn, they get a playoff win. And that starts with this Magic series. So it's interesting, like, Milwaukee, gettable, especially with Giannis missing.
He's banged up has a hamstring or a calf or something?
So it's the calf, but it's definitely not an Achilles, which I distinctly remember hearing with at least two Golden State Warriors once upon a time. Ah, Kevin Durant. No, it's just a calf injury. He can't. Oh, there goes his Achilles.
Yeah.
But like, even once you get past, like,
you're not rooting for that, are you?
No, I actually wouldn't. Not with Giannis. No. Could never.
But Durant. Yeah.
No. I could. Here's the thing. I've gotten to a point where, and there was young Nick Wilson, much more spiteful of any of these athletes. Not now. I've gotten to a point where beyond winning and losing for my team, all I really want is for everyone to make as much money as they can. And at the end of the day, whether it's the end of the day or the end of their career, they could just go home and live a good life. That's all I want. This is a pretty simple thing. I don't wish any ill. Even Draymond, still a Jag. Now I'm worried about him for other reasons. Like, I legit, person to person, I don't get where that dude is at in his life. He has so much going. He's got a great future. I'm now more worried about Draymond than I have disdain for Draymond. And that is a dude that might be the last guy that I truly, truly sports hated for a very long time.
I don't sports hate him.
Oh, I did. I don't now, but man, I did.
I've just come to understand that he's just kind of a wackadoo.
I think that's probably a healthy take on it. Yeah.
You know?
Like, I think that's fair.
He's just a little off.
Do you have any sports hate right now in your heart?
Sports hate? I used to. I used to have some serious sports hate for the Warriors and for Steph and for that whole group, honestly. But right now, no, I don't really have any sports hate.
I think I have more sports annoyance. Like, Aaron Rodgers annoys me.
I mean, I'm annoyed with the Chiefs.
Oh, see, no ill will. That'll change the second they bounce the Browns out or even just play the Browns in the playoffs. It'll change overnight. But, like, I used to really hate the Patriots. That thing fell apart. Now I kind of just like, oh, man, people won't hire Bill Belichick. That's kind of sad.
I actually feel bad for Bill Belichick.
Oh, no. I don't hate them, but it is a team that when I think about them does get me very sports annoyed. It's the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly because it's a good team, and they are a really good team. They're not winning an NBA championship.
The Celtics bother me a little bit.
Oh, that's interesting. Because that has been the top dog in the East the last couple. Yeah. I don't even care. I don't know why. Because usually
they're just like too good.
I think it is unfair that they have two of the premier wings in the NBA, either of whom could be a one on a championship team on their own teams. And we're probably going to find that out one day because there's no way they play their whole career together. 216-474-0092. Somehow we got onto sports annoyance. Is there anybody you sports hate right now? The Warriors are dead. Not metaphorically. Metaphorically? Is it a metaphor? Am I using a metaphor?
I'm not sure. You're the smart guy.
Yeah. I'm not
the Ivy
Leaguer
here on
the
show.
I'm not the metaphor guy, though.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.